on BBC Radio 4, the first of a trio of stories starring Agatha Christie's personal favourite character.
Agatha Christie's The Mysterious Mr. Quinn. The Coming of Mr. Quinn. Read by Martin Jarvis.
It was New Year's Eve. The members of the house party at Royston were assembled in the big hall. Mr. Satterthwaite was 62, oddly elf-like, with an intense interest in other people's lives. There was Tom Evesham, their good-humoured host, and his wife Lady Laura, Sir Richard Conway, soldier and sportsman, and the Portals. It was the Portals who interested Mr. Satterthwaite. Alec Portal, good, sound, English stock. But his wife was different. She was apparently an Australian. Portal had been out there 2 years ago, had married her, and brought her home. Mr. Satterthwaite observed her. Not exactly beautiful, but there was a kind of calamitous magic about her. But why did she dye her hair? Many dark women dye their hair blonde. He had never before come across a fair woman who dyed her hair black. He was roused by the solemn chiming of a big clock.
"Ah," said Tom Evesham. "Happy New Year, everybody."
"In my young days," said his wife, "we all sang Should Old Acquaintance Be Forgot."
"No, Laura."
"Oh, stupid of me. Reminds him of poor Mr. Capel. My dear, is the fire too hot for you?" Eleanor Portal had made a brusque movement.
"Thank you. I'll move my chair a little."
"Mr. Capel?" "The man who originally owned this house. He shot himself, you know. Tom and Sir Richard were here when it happened. Well, we've seen the New Year in bed."
Eleanor Portal rose to her feet.
"By all means."
Mr. Satterthwaite watched her go up the stairs. She turned and gave her husband a long, searching glance. "I only hope," Lady Laura was saying, "that it will be a dark man who first crosses the threshold. Good night."
After their departure, Richard Conway said,
"You knew Derek Capel, didn't you, Satterthwaite?"
"Slightly, yes."
"And you, Portal?"
"No, I never met him."
So fiercely did he say it that Mr. Satterthwaite looked up in surprise.
"After the tragedy 10 years ago," said Evesham, "this place was going cheap and I bought it. Poor old Derek. We shall never know why he did it."
Alec Portal poured himself another drink.
"Gad," said Conway. "Listen to the wind. It's a wild night."
As the wind died away, there came three loud knocks on the big nailed door.
"Who on earth?"
Evesham strode across and flung it open. Framed in the doorway stood a man's figure, tall and slender. To Mr. Satterthwaite, watching, he appeared by some curious effect of the stained glass above the door to be dressed in every colour of the rainbow. Then, as he stepped forward, he showed himself to be a thin, dark man in motoring clothes.
"I really must apologise for this intrusion. My car broke down. My chauffeur is putting it to rights, but it will take half an hour or so, and it is confoundedly cold outside."
"Well, come in, come in," said Evesham.
"Thank you. By the way, my name is Quinn, Harley Quinn."
"Well, sit down, Mr. Quinn. Now, this is Sir Richard Conway, Mr. Satterthwaite, Mr. Portal. My name is Evesham."
As Mr. Quinn sat, the firelight threw a bar of shadow across his face, which gave almost the impression of a mask. Evesham brought him a drink.
"You know this part of the world well, Mr. Quinn?"
"I passed through it some years ago. This house belonged to a man called Capel."
"Ah, poor Derek. You knew him?"
"Yes."
"Astounding affair. I was in the house the night he shot himself. So was Conway here."
"Inexplicable," said Mr. Quinn. And he paused as if he had just spoken an important cue.
"Top of his spirits at dinner," burst in Conway. "Then goes straight upstairs to his room, takes a revolver from a drawer and shoots himself. Why? Nobody will ever know."
"I wonder," said Mr. Quinn, smiling. Alec Portal leaned forward.
"You're right, Mr. Quinn. Time does not dispose of a question. It only presents it anew, in a different guise."
"You mean to say, Mr. Quinn," said Evesham, "that if we were to hold a court of inquiry tonight, we are as likely to arrive at the truth as we should have been at the time?"
"More likely, Mr. Evesham." One must have a starting point, of course.
Richard Conway frowned.
Well, we all thought there must be a woman in it.
Mr. Satterthwaite started. He had just caught sight of a woman's figure huddled down against the balustrade of the gallery above, listening. And suddenly, a new illumination came to him. Mr. Quinn's arrival, no fortuitous chance. It was he who was staging the drama, setting his puppets in motion.
A woman, murmured Mr. Quinn. Was there mention of any woman at dinner?
Well, yes. Derrick announced his engagement, said Evesham. Said it wasn't to be made public just yet, but...
Of course, we all guessed who the lady was, said Conway. Marjorie Dilke. Nice girl. But if it was Marjorie, why the secrecy? Sounds more as though it were a married woman, you know, someone who was divorcing, perhaps.
Curious, said Mr. Quinn.
Derrick looked almost drunk with happiness that night, said Evesham, though oddly defiant, too,
like a man defying fate, said Alec Portal. Mr. Satterthwaite looked up. She was still there.
And yet, said Conway, 10 minutes later...
Something must have happened in that 10 minutes, exclaimed Evesham. Let's go over it carefully. We were all talking, then Derrick got up suddenly and left the room.
Why? Said Mr. Quinn.
The post. Remember that jangling bell, Conway? We'd been snowed up for 3 days. Derrick went out to see if something had come through at last and got a great pile of things. He opened the newspaper and then went upstairs with his letters. 3 minutes afterwards, we heard a shot.
The fellow got some unexpected news in a letter? Suggested Portal.
No, said Conway. That was one of the coroner's first questions. But the whole pile lay unopened on his dressing table.
Conway and I went up when we heard the shot, said Evesham. And there we found him.
Nothing to be done but telephone for the police, I suppose, said Mr. Quinn.
Well, luckily enough, a local constable happened to be in the kitchen at the time. One of the dogs had strayed the day before, found half buried in a snowdrift, and the constable came up with it. He'd just arrived a minute before the shot was fired. It saved us some trouble.
About this time of year, wasn't it? Said Conway. Just before the Appleton murder case. Matter of fact, Derrick knew the Appletons. He'd stayed with them the previous spring, a week before the old curmudgeon died. He was telling us about him. You know, how awful for a beautiful young woman like Mrs. Appleton to be tied to him. No suspicion then, of course, that she had done away with him.
Quite, replied Evesham. I remember reading in that paper that an exhumation order had been granted.
Capel's room was the big one looking over the drive, was it not? Asked Mr. Quinn.
Yes.
Mr. Satterthwaite was curiously thrilled. Quinn was driving at something.
The Appleton case, said Evesham. She got off. Pretty woman, very fair.
There was a crash of falling glass.
I say, damn sorry.
Evesham cut short Alec Portal's apologies.
Quite all right, my dear fellow. Curious, what? That's what Mrs. Appleton did, didn't she? Smashed the port decanter?
Yes, said Conway. Old Appleton had his glass of port each night. Day after his death, one of the servants saw her take the decanter out and smash it deliberately. Months later, an exhumation order. And sure enough, he'd been poisoned. Arsenic, wasn't it, Tom?
Strychnine, I think. Mrs. Appleton stood her trial. She was acquitted, though I don't suppose there's much doubt she did it. What happened to her afterwards, Richard?
Went out to Canada, I believe. Or was it Australia?
Evesham rose.
Well, Court of Inquiry isn't much nearer to knowing why poor Derrick shot himself, is it?
Mr. Quinn laughed. It made everyone jump.
Mr. Evesham, you are still hampered by your preconceived notion, but I see only facts.
Facts?
Yes.
Mr. Quinn had risen. The fire leapt fitfully behind him.
Let us go back 10 years. At dinner, Derrick Capel announces his engagement, then goes out to get the long-overdue mail. He doesn't open his letters, but he opened the paper to glance at the news. And the paper contained that paragraph. The Home Office had given permission to exhume the body of Mr. Appleton 3 days before. Capel goes up to his room, and there he sees something out of the window. What did he see that forced him to take his life?
What do you mean?
I think, said Mr. Quinn,
that he saw a policeman who had come about a dog. But Derek Capel didn't know that. He just saw a policeman.
My God, whispered Evesham. Appleton? But Derek wasn't there when Appleton died. The old man was alone with his wife.
Derek was there a week earlier.
Strychnine is not very soluble unless it is in the form of the hydrochloride. The greater part of it, put into the port, would be taken in the last glass, perhaps a week after he left.
Portal sprang forward. Why did she break the decanter? Tell me that.
Mr. Quinn turned to Mr. Satterthwaite. Perhaps his cue had come at last. He was no longer a looker-on.
As I see it, she cared for Capel. She was, I think, a good woman, and she had sent him away. When her husband died, she suspected the truth. And so, to save the man she loved, she tried to destroy the evidence against him. Later, I think he persuaded her that her suspicions were unfounded, and she consented to marry him. But even then, she hung back. Women have a lot of instinct.
Suddenly, a long, trembling sigh filled the air.
What was that?
Cried Evesham.
Mr. Quinn was smiling.
My car will be ready by now. Thank you for your hospitality. I have, I hope, done something for my friend.
They stared at him.
Well, Capel loved this woman, you know, enough to commit murder for her sake. When retribution overtook him, as he mistakenly thought, he took his own life. But unwittingly he left her to face the music.
She was acquitted.
Yes, but I fancy she is still facing the music.
Portal had buried his face in his hands. Quinn turned again to Satterthwaite.
Goodbye. I must recommend the Harlequinade to your attention. Its symbolism is a little difficult to follow nowadays, but the immortals are always immortal, you know. Good night.
They saw him stride out into the dark. As before, the coloured glass gave the effect of motley.
Mr. Satterthwaite went upstairs. He began to draw down his window, for the air was cold.
The figure of Mr. Quinn moved across the drive, and from a side door came a woman's figure running. For a moment they spoke together, then she retraced her steps, passing just below the window. She moved now like a woman in a happy dream.
Eleanor.
Alec Portal had joined her.
Eleanor, forgive me. You told me the truth, but God forgive me. I did not quite believe.
Mr. Satterthwaite was a gentleman. He shut the window, but very slowly. He heard her voice, exquisite and indescribable.
I know. You have been in hell. So was I once, loving yet alternately believing and suspecting. But there is a worse hell than that, Alec. I have seen your doubt, your fear of me, poisoning all our love. That man, that chance passerby, saved me. I could bear it no longer, you understand. Tonight, I was going to kill myself. Oh, Alec. Alec.
Martin Jarvis was reading The Coming of Mr. Quinn by Agatha Christie. The Mysterious Mr. Quinn is a Jarvis and Ayres production for BBC Radio 4.